This is your 1017 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. A judge from South Milwaukee resigns after being charged with making false statements on election nomination papers. 40-year-old Kelly Martika faces one misdemeanor count of false swearing. Prosecutors say Martika ran for municipal judge in South Milwaukee while being a resident of Racine. They also say she falsely claimed that she personally circulated the documents to get the signatures required to run for office. Martika won the election in April but resigned in September. She pled not guilty last week to the charge, and if convicted, she faces up to 9 months in jail. Wisconsin food assistance programs are at risk as the government shutdown enters its third week. More than 7,000 Wisconsinites could lose their SNAP and WIC benefits in November without a funding solution. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is asking the state legislature for $70 million to help keep the services running after funding cuts from the Big Beautiful Bill Act. DHS also needs more staff as the department processes more paperwork related to new work requirements mandated by the law. Ascension Wisconsin reaches a new agreement with UnitedHealthcare. The multi-year agreement ensures that individuals and families with UnitedHealthcare coverage can continue receiving care at Ascension Wisconsin hospitals, clinics, and outpatient facilities without disruption. This includes patients covered under Medicare and Medicaid plans. The two sides failed to agree on a contract renewal by an October 1st deadline. At the time, Ascension said the reimbursement rates offered by UnitedHealthcare did not keep up with rising costs. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 1017 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the common council president and the common council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. All right. Where we at? So I was doing some thinking today, and that's the dangerous part of doing a talk show, because then you start to think about things and you start to try to connect the dots. And sometimes they connect, and sometimes they don't. And so I was thinking about how we don't see the world the way that we should. We have to remember that no matter what we do, no matter what we say, there is a economic, I don't want to say outcome. There's an economic part to everything we do. We like to pretend like there's not. We like to pretend like, you know, everything is great, but in the end, we don't look at the world the way that we should. And I know some people are going to get mad about some of the things I'm going to say. And everybody's going to accuse me of being conservative and all that other nonsense. But one of the things that we need to look at is how we see the world, how we look at the world. And no, I'm not trying to pop off. So if you're in the YouTube chat, by the way, you can stream and watch us live on YouTube at 1017thetruth.com. Make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell. Every time we live, boop, it reminds you. No matter what happens, there's a thing called the truth that you can't get around. You can't change it. Doesn't matter how you look at the world. You can look back to the 40s and the 50s and see all white everything. You can look at history and see all white everything and say, we weren't represented. Well, we weren't in a place to be represented. So you're not going to be represented. And you can't work today to change the past. The past is the past. History is history. So if you're going to complain about who wrote the history book, write a history book. But what we're not going to do is argue and complain about things from a point of view that I don't want to call it irrelevant. I guess I have to call it irrational. We accept things, or should I say, we don't accept things that we should. We talk about black women and how black women want to do all these great things and black women want to have all these things. That's great. But what do you give up? What are you willing to give up? Is it worth it? If you want to live large, you got to work large. If you work large, that means you're not going to be at home. So when we start talking about all these kids that are ripping and running and tearing up the streets, we need to go back and look at what families did they come from. Because y'all told mama she could go to work and she could have everything. We made up these nonsense comments like there's a win-win. There's no such thing. And the person that doesn't win doesn't necessarily lose, but they don't get what the other person has. We make up things like quality time. What's that? So I'm not going to spend any time with you for weeks on end, and then we'll make it up on quality time, as if a couple of hours at the zoo with your kid is going to make up for 2 weeks of not paying them any attention, basically going home, washing clothes, making meals, and going to bed. It's not. There are some things we give up when we get what we want. But you have to be clear. You have to live in the real world. You cannot have everything. You literally cannot have everything. Oh, and Glenn, by the way, you can't mix teams. You either wear something with the Brewers or you wear something with the Bucks, but you can't wear Brewer Bucks.
They both have games tonight. Why can't I?
Because I said so. You can't wear Brooks. He said, why can't I? Because you can't. So is it the Brooks or the Brewers? Or the, let me see, the Brooks? It must be the Brooks. It's got to be. And it's glitter, too? Anyway. So see what I mean? He's a perfect example. You can't have everything. Sometimes people just live in their own world. The universe is not going to stop. It's not going to change because you decided that you thought you wanted something. It's just not. And so many things in the world. If we wanted to eradicate all disease, are you willing to pay for it? If you want to stop crime in Milwaukee, are you willing to pay for it? If you want the streets to be clean and garbage to be picked up, are you willing to pay for it? I say dare not. There are cost constraints to every single thing we do. And so if you want to stop, I forget the phrase people use. If you want to stop infant mortality, you got to pay for it. But it's an easy fix. You just have to pay for it. Like there are certain things in life we overlook, but we forget. Children that grow up well-adjusted come from households, usually with two parents, And households, and I'm not saying if you're a single parent, you can't do it, because my mother was a single parent and she did it. But by and large, a good parent in the home, you have to. And if your income is over $100,000, you're pretty much guaranteed. And I'm talking household. If mommy and daddy make $50,000 each, you're pretty much guaranteed to live a life and live longer. Money's important for everything. But we have people who have it screaming about how terrible it is. It takes privilege to complain about money. I'm not talking about complaining about not having it, but complaining about the fact that there's not enough to go around. People of certain incomes, regardless of race, live longer than people that are poor. We want to blame the food they eat. We want to blame all these other things, when in fact, it literally comes down to education and the food you eat. And those are the two things we're going to be talking about at the summit: education, healthcare, how you care for yourself. Because what I'm seeing is people are literally sidestepping the universe. They're sidestepping things that are true to come up with what they want. And so I found out that all their dreams and what they think for them is good. Reality? Optional.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.
Why didn't it play? Why didn't it play? You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I was trying to play a video, and it's not playing. Oh, well. That's life. Let me see if I can. Yeah, everything's going. So if you can go to the first story I have on there. There's a video on the side, but there's a commercial on it, so you're going to have to enlarge it and then scroll back to play it. Yep. And in the meantime, it's 101.7 The Truth, Dr. Ken Harris for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. When it comes to your home, the smart play is trusting Gina Della and her Pella team. This month, October, you can score a whole house of new energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with 0% interest for up to 60 months. That's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable thanks to incredible defense played by Pella windows stopping the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. Also want to remind you, Truth Summit, I mentioned it in the open, right? Truth Summit is coming. And that's going to be on October. That's going to be on November 15th from 10 till 1 at Thrive on King, 2153 North, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Drive here in Milwaukee. So doors going to open at 9:30. We're going to be talking about education and we're going to be talking about healthcare. We're going to talk about the two things that if you can handle and deal with those things so the kids grow up and get a good job and make a decent wage, they can live a long, healthy, full life. That's just me, though. That's just me. So I came across a story, but rather than me read it, I thought you should listen.
Attorneys say a man in a medical crisis ended up behind bars instead of getting help. Tonight, a new lawsuit says Kingsley Bimpong suffered a stroke while driving. It claims three Eagan police officers and eight Dakota County correctional officers ignored every red flag. As Ubali explains, the lead attorney says their decisions cost him his life.
But every step along the way with Eagan and the jail defendants, it was a conscious choice of deliberate indifference to not bring him to the hospital.
According to the lawsuit, Kingsley Bimpong left work at the Postal Service early last November because of a headache. Minutes later, he made a left turn on red and was pulled over by Eagan police. The suit says Kingsley could not tell police his own name or where he was coming from. Instead of calling for paramedics, the lawsuit says officers thought he was on drugs. But according to the lawsuit, no field sobriety test was done. And the suit says officers who searched his car found nothing to indicate drug or alcohol use. At one point, attorneys say an officer can be heard on body camera audio suggesting Kingsley was suffering from a stroke. Kingsley was transferred to the Dakota County Correctional Facility, where the suit says his condition got worse. Images included in the suit shows him lying on the cell floor.
And ends up, you know, losing control of his bladder, rolling around in his own urine, and clearly in pain and struggling for hours when no one's helping him.
More images in the lawsuit shows people standing outside Kingsley's cell and what appears to be Kingsley lying on the floor.
There were checks happening. They weren't reacting to anything that could easily be observed, you know, him on the floor.
It wasn't until he was foaming at the mouth that attorneys say help was finally given to him. Kingsley later died. The filing says no drugs or alcohol were found in his system. In a statement, the city of Eagan says while Mr. Bimpong's death is tragic, he was not exhibiting an objectively serious medical condition that was obvious to laypersons at the time he was in the Eagan officer's custody, and there's no indication that he required emergent medical treatment. Dakota County said they could not comment on a matter under active litigation. Uba Ali, WCCO News.
So, I'm going to put my cop hat on. I'm going to put on 30 years of law enforcement. I'm going to put on about 6 years of being a lieutenant at State Fair Park Police, dealing with groups and crowds of people who drink a lot. I'm going to put together 3 years as a lieutenant. 3 years? 3 years as a, and some change as a lieutenant at Milwaukee. 10 years as a sergeant, sometimes acting lieutenant. And police officer, sometimes acting desk sergeant. When people are exhibiting something and you have no idea what it is, and they're strange, and something's going on, what they used to do in Milwaukee, I'm not going to talk about what they do now, I'd have to scour their rules and procedures, but I'm pretty sure you get medically cleared. If we think anything is in your system, if there's a possibility anything is in your system, if you're intoxicated and you're showing intoxication, but you have no smell of alcohol, you've got no liquor in the car and no drugs, I'm going to think there's either a mental health issue or you're going into a diabetic coma or you're having a stroke. Either way, I'm calling an ambulance. That's me. And I'm armchair quarterbacking and I get that. That's fairly widespread known in police training. When all else fails, turn them over to a higher power, call medical professionals, and let them deal with it. They would have told you immediately, 95% sure, this guy's having a stroke. He's driving on the wrong side of the street. When you stop him, he doesn't know where he's going, where he's coming from, what his job is, what his name is, where he lives, nothing. So he's got a rapid loss and sense of surrounding. That by itself. Milwaukee police were taught some 30-something years ago, hey, those are stroke symptoms. And one of the cops said, hey, like this guy's having a stroke. But I'm pretty sure that wasn't the senior officer there. Or it wasn't the officer whose call it was. And so now they promptly go, yep, arrest him. And so I'm sure you got him to the district or got him to the precinct, whatever y'all call it, got him to the jail. And as you're processing him, he's not all there. Or he might have normalized. And then went back into an episode, which from the looks of the lawsuit, that's what happened. When you should have done something and you didn't do it, and you should have known you should do something and you don't do it, in the legal sense, that's usually what's called deliberate indifference, and that's what the attorney mentioned. Is this deliberate indifference? Why I believe they're going to fail, we'll talk about in a moment. Al, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, good evening. I think it's a horrible, horrible situation.
Yep.
I just hope when the shoe get on the other foot, they let them cops rot too, and they can see how it is when somebody else don't act like they care and their family can visit them in the graveyard. Because what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and it's about principle. Have a great day.
Hard to disagree with him. Hard to disagree. We're talking about something that's trained as a first responder, that level of training, right? You got first responder, then you got like paramedic and whatever those are with the ambulance people. I always get them confused. One is more than the other. And then you get like registered nurse. Well, I guess LPN, then registered nurse, then physician assistant or whatever it is, or nurse practitioner. And then you go all the way up to medical doctor. Basic first responder tells you, which is like a touch higher than just regular first aid, tells you, something not right here. We need to call a medical official. We need to call a medical professional. And they didn't. So unless you were across the street from where you were locking them up, it took at least another 30 minutes. You know how much damage can happen when you're having a stroke in 30 minutes? And he's on the ground, urinating on himself, foaming at the mouth. Then you call? Too late. It's got to be drugs. You made assumptions because you filled in the blanks based on what you thought. And I think it's going to cost them. My question, is this another George Floyd incident? Is this another where we sit and watch a person die and don't do anything about it because we think we know better? You always err on the side of caution. And yes, I'm going to armchair quarterback. You always err on the side of caution. And you call a medical professional. Not because you know, but because you don't know. One ambulance. Check him out. He's fine. Then take him to jail. And when those instances happened in Milwaukee, we've seen police officers get in trouble. When the person tells you, hey, I'm having a, and you blow them off. Oh, everybody says that. But remember, there's 600,000 cops, and we're talking about one or two. So let's not do a blanket, all cops are bad and all cops are this, because this happens every day, and people catch it every day, and they get medical treatment every day, and everything works out fine. Dr. Ford, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth. How are you? Are you a medical doctor?
Dr. Ken, yeah, I'm an emergency medicine doctor.
Okay.
All right. I wanted to touch on just the fact that you brought up right now. So I would say in my experience working at several hospitals in the city and kind of surrounding neighborhoods too, Milwaukee Police and, you know, North Shore Police, they do a good job at bringing patients in when they are exhibiting symptoms that are outside the ordinary, right? So just like you said, you know, it's not a blanket statement for all officers, but, you know, if something's not adding up, it's better to err on that side of caution, especially in the setting of stroke symptoms. Typically, when I train residents and students, you know, when we usually will see people that come into the department for medical clearance, we usually will, I will train them to err on the side of caution even more, right? So this patient is going to be in police custody. You know, if there's something that's not adding up, if they have a symptom, we want to make sure you work that up because, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want them to go back to, you know, jail or wherever they may be going and you know, have the officer say, oh, no, they just went to the ER, they're fine, right? So it's something that all of us as first responders, everybody on the front line, you know, this is a vulnerable population that we work with. Mm-hmm. And again, you don't want to throw your hands up. You don't want to say, you know, they'll be fine because they just, you know, they're just acting X, Y, and Z, right? There's always this chance that something could be going wrong, and this is the last opportunity we have to intervene.
And so would you call this indifference, or do you believe officers should be trained well enough to know it? There was no alcohol present. There was no smell of alcohol. They didn't find any drugs, no open containers in the car.
Yeah, so, you know, it's tough because, you know, it's tough to put yourself in the shoes of the officers that were there. But at the same time, you know, if it was a jury, they're probably going to lean on the side of indifference, kind of given the basics that we're taught now as first responders. And all the, you know, Milwaukee police officers that I've worked with in the past know all the BFAS systems, mm-hmm. right? So that's what we typically will use for strokes, right? So balance, you know, you're looking at the eyes, making sure there's no blurred vision, making sure there's no facial asymmetry, the arms are not, you know, drooping, you know, speech is normal, and that, you know, they're able to call 911 if any of those things pop up, right? And so these are all things that we are all trained at, and we're doing a better job across the, you know, across state lines and training our first responders with that, because again, you know, time is money, time is brain in this situation for strokes, and seconds and minutes matter, right? And so yep. It's going to be hard to prove in medicine. We often have to prove for malpractices deviation from standard of norm, right? So are you doing something that a doctor at EconoWalk, you know, would normally do, right? So in this case, you know, I think if the police officers would have a hard time proving that they did not deviate from the standard of norm in this case, because, you know, any first responder, any paramedic, you know, basic BLS will tell you that this is what's going on with this patient. We need to at least rule this out.
All right. Well, thank you much, Dr. Ford. Appreciate you.
Thanks much, Dr. Ford. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right. Take care. And it basically comes to that. Basic life support. Basic. Just basic. First aid, right? You're on the wrong side of the street. You don't know where you are. You don't know your name. You don't know what you're doing. There's something wrong here. Me personally, and I know it comes from training and experience, and I have more than most people, but that's something that's trained in the academy. When in doubt, you haven't cost anything. If anything, you cost the city having to pay, you know, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000 for an ambulance to roll up. Is that $1,000 worth you going to prison or the city? And now this little town has a $120 million lawsuit. And they're not going to give them $120 million, but it's going to be six zeros in it. And it's going to be seven digits. And they're going to have to pay. Brian, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Yeah. What was the makeup of the arresting officers? Were they white?
Completely irrelevant. I don't think that does that matter?
Yeah, that definitely matters.
Why?
That would explain,
do they get off? What if they were black? That doesn't explain. Your actions explain indifference, not your race.
Well, I'll tell you this. Common sense will tell you that most black folks know.
No,
when
not
someone
true.
Another
not
black
true.
Cop is going to know.
No.
A normal common sense
no.
black cop is going to know when somebody
no, absolutely not.
That,
no.
That's having
no.
a problem.
That's Brian, you're my dude, Brian, but
people,
that's ridiculous.
I have plenty of family members that are in law enforcement. And there's one thing black folks do have. We do have common sense, and we know how black folks act. White folks do not know how black folks.
So what
act.
You're saying is that if you're driving down the street, that's a black thing?
Sense.
That if you're driving
white,
down the street and you don't know your name, it's a black thing? Like, what exactly are you saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
Black folks, a black cop is going to know if a black man doesn't know his name that there's something wrong and there has to be a medical issue. And
but most of the white cops I knew know it, too. Like, what? Why are you making this a race issue?
That's why I was asking the question. Was he white
no,
or black?
No, no, no. But does it
That's
matter?
Why I was
but
question.
Does it matter?
It definitely matters.
Really?
In this city, it does matter. It does matter.
Wow.
In this city. In this particular city, it does matter.
All right.
Do we know the cop? Was the cop white or was the cop black?
I don't know.
That's the question I'm asking.
I don't know, and I don't really care. If you screwed up, you screwed up. If you didn't, you didn't. Like, I don't care.
Yeah, well, I say this. If he was white or black, I say just fire the cop, move on. Fire the cop, move on.
But time out. What if they were black?
Fire them.
But wait a minute. You just brought up race. So then why worry about race then?
I'm not worried about it. Either way.
You brought up the fact that a black cop seeing this should have known. So if it was a black cop that did it, are they racist and did they have deliberate indifference too?
They were negligent and they deserved to lose their job.
Oh, wow. So now we're changing laws and statutes based on race?
No, we're changing them based on the circumstances that they caused, whether they be white or black. I'm just explaining the differences between mentalities of how white folks look at us and how black folks look at their own.
While I agree with you to a point, I don't think in this instance that was the case. I think it came down to training. Now,
You know what? The problem with police officers, maybe the people that are doing the training are not training right. Maybe they're infallible.
No.
Maybe the training that people always talk about, we got training this, training that. Maybe y'all don't know what the heck y'all doing in the first thing.
Please. Okay, well then don't call 911. Okay. All right. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. We're playing some D'Angelo. You know, he passed away today at age 51 from cancer. So, he'll be dearly missed. He had children with Angie Stone, right? And Angie just died in a car crash. So now the kids are parentless. Oh my gosh. Somebody brought that to my attention earlier. It's like, wow. Hey, we got breaking news from Fox6Now.com. NPS Athletics Director is out year after playoff paperwork mistake. Bobby Kelsey is no longer employed by Milwaukee Public Schools. The district confirmed on today, last October, a paperwork mistake disqualified two high schools from the playoffs. Bob Malbec will assume day-to-day operations for the athletics office moving forward. Who wrote this? They wrote it for tomorrow. Anyway. Athletics Commissioner Bill Malbec, who's been working with NPS as a limited-term employee on special projects, will take on additional operational duties to support the Office of Interscholastic Athletics and Academics. Malbec will work alongside Andrew Rosa, who is serving as director of Milwaukee Recreation, in an underfill role. Kelsey, who led the office since 2019, was responsible for submitting paperwork that would have finalized conference changes for Bayview and Pulaski High Schools last October. The failure to file the proper documents left both schools, you got this, ineligible for postseason play, with officials confirming the football teams must forfeit every game this season and next season, along with playoff bans. The Milwaukee City Conference operates under a promotion regulation system similar to English soccer, where the winner of the Blackburn Division moves into the Richardson Division, and the last place finisher in Richardson moves down. Bayview and Pulaski had swapped divisions before 2024 season, but NPS officials say the change was never formalized because of paperwork. So now they forfeit two seasons completely gone. All the games you play. So how do you go to college and say, hey, I played for, or actually I didn't. And all those games I played, they're not. And the team we're supposed to have for next year, because I'm a senior, we won't. Wow. I feel for them, but Hey, y'all, Brenda Caselius is no joke. No joke. 833-212-1017 is the number. Who's up in here? Hey, Kwanda, how's it going? Study Hall is here. Not really a city girl. What's going on? Willie, what's up? Sylvia? Hey, don't be calling me that. See, Sylvia wasn't here yesterday. You see that? Sylvia said, hey, Dr. Ken, how are you, sweetie? She wasn't here yesterday when my wife was here, was she? She was like, not going to talk. Let me see. Dimitri, how you doing? I'm doing good. Kwanda said, I better not pop off or I will make my, she going to make her one call. That's all to Mrs. Carla here. No, you're not. You don't even know our number. Get out of here. Beat it. See, them RNs stick together. I tell you. You all the tip. Y'all just going to tell on me. Threw me under the bus. What's up, Curly Q? How are you? Everything is doing well. Thank you, Demetri. Demetri say, rest in peace, D'Angelo. Thank you. You know D'Angelo's real name? Like he had a, he has a normal, plain old name. And I'm like, how y'all get D'Angelo from that? But, you know. Demetri say, why don't you play Brown Sugar? Because we're not. We're going to play it eventually. Just give us a break. Give us a break. I know you what? Michael Eugene Archer, also known as D'Angelo. They was like, hey, man, I'm going to play this music. They was like, oh, that's some beautiful music. Who made it? Michael Eugene Archer. Who? D'Angelo. Oh, okay. Wow. Sincere say, all of their actions were intentional and non-caring. Well, we don't know that. Don't do that. Let's let this lawsuit play out. The chief got a cover for the cops and play his part. So when they do pay, it's not a lot of money, but they're not gonna just throw it out there. Yeah, they did it. They messed up. No, they gonna. Yep. He said all them cops were bad. No, they weren't. Just the one that made the final decision to do it. So should the cop that said, I think he's having a stroke, get slammed? See, you don't understand. Cop culture is like nursing culture. It's like medical doctor culture. When the big boss says, this is what we're doing, when the person with seniority says, this is what we're doing, when Dr. Ford tells a resident, this is what we're doing, that's what you're doing. And if Dr. Ford is wrong, I'm just using Dr. Ford as an example because he called. If Dr. Ford is wrong, then Dr. Ford takes the hit. The trick should be one of those residents should say, hey, when I was in school, we did this. Is that the same as this? And then Dr. Ford can explain it. Hey, it's this, it's that, it's this. Oh, okay. But when you're hard-headed and in law enforcement, got to admit that, sometimes you get tunnel vision. This is what we're doing. This is what it is. That's what I decided. Well, you're wrong. And it's the same thing as the Asian cop who was new and probationary that they ended up sending to jail just on GP. Well, you were there with the sergeant or whatever his name was who killed George Floyd. Well, I think that me personally, I think that was too much. That's civilians that don't understand the culture of law enforcement and they don't understand the rules and procedures that if you're the senior officer, you're in charge. So the senior officer who had his knee on George Floyd's neck took the hit and should have been the only one that took the hit. When the other officers told him to get off and he didn't. So what should you do? Knock him off? Push him off? Beat him off? And then every time you go to work and every time you call for help, they don't come. See, there are so many other circumstances that happen that people don't want to hear, right? They don't want to know. They just want you to do your job. And they don't understand all the things that go with it. Should they have called? Yes. I believe they should have called 911. They should have called an ambulance and had him checked out. They messed up. And so now they're going to take it. Reginald said, it's lousy with the paramedics to get super stupid and slow asking a gazillion questions before getting into traffic and route to the hospital. Well, they have to. Because by law, they got to follow a certain pattern so they can show the standard of care was the same for everybody. And I suggest you go back to the beginning when Dr. Ford called before the traffic and explained there's a standard of care you have to give. And that standard of care has to be consistent so that everybody is covered. I mean, it's a risk management thing. That's what I'm calling it. It's a risk management thing, and your insurance won't go through the roof. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. That is what they have to do. And it has nothing to do with common sense. You're filling in what you think it should be instead of filling in the facts. It's like my opening. It's like reality. It's optional. We'll just decide it's this. Well, no, that's not how it works. The facts are going to come out. Not really. A city girl said, I think this is a training issue. There's a personal choice and maybe some bias. You don't know that. I know EMTs are trained to identify stroke victims. No way they were completely oblivious to it. Well, they may have been because he might have been at the beginning of his stroke. He was still ambulatory. He was still moving. He was driving a car. He was talking. He just didn't know who he was and didn't know where he was and didn't know his name and all that. Right? I dare say 99% of the cops would have erred on the side of caution. I'd rather get screamed at by a supervisor for calling and finding out it's nothing than to have the guy die and find out it's something. Reginald said, God save and protect us all. Well, he always will. Sylvia said, I wouldn't care if he was purple and stood upside down. If he could save my life, come on, save my life. Said, like you said, Dr. Kent, one EMT even stated that he felt the man was hurt. It wasn't an EMT. It was a police officer. That said, I didn't listen to the whole interview, but I believe it was a police officer who's heard on body cam saying that I think he's having a stroke. And none of them followed that hunch, not even their training, not in good faith. But we don't know that. Stop filling in the blanks when you don't know. B. Bruce say training, blah, blah, blah. How about returning some old school common sense? This is not a common sense issue. It's a totality of circumstances, and the circumstances didn't add up for one of them who probably ended up being the senior officer and made a call, and it was wrong. And a person died. And now they're going to have to live with it.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harrison is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. We'll be playing music for most of the day from D'Angelo, who passed away today, born in 1974. Passed away at the age of 51. So, tough break. He had children with Angie Stone, and she died, I believe, last year or earlier this year in a car accident. And so now their children are parentless. So y'all keep them kids in y'all prayers. Look, yeah, it's unfortunate. Really unfortunate. Yeah, this year? Yeah, Angie Stone passed away this year in a car crash. You know, and I was talking to somebody, you know, they were like, you know, that's like some Final Destination stuff. I'm like, you know, bottom line, yeah, other people driving. Car crash. What's her name? Left Eye? Driving down in Brazil or Argentina, somewhere in Central America, and went over a cliff, driving a Jeep too fast, and Aaliyah in a plane because she wanted all her luggage on the aircraft. I would have told her, no, it's not going. Well, if you don't do it, you're fired. Then I'm fired. But guess what? Ain't nobody here to fly the plane. Goodbye. And now everybody dead. Ego and money, when them two go together, Lord have mercy. They have one son together, 27 years. I don't care if he's 7 years old or 2 years old. He could be 27. Thanks, Fonz. But that's still, you don't have any parents. Like in 1 year, you lost both your parents. That's tough. That is tough. Player said the police completely mishandled this. A person off the street would have recognized something was wrong. No, they wouldn't. With him, y'all couldn't tell you his name, age, or anything else. Clearly something's wrong. True. And why would drugs be the first assumption? Because some people who react that way because they do drugs. And the majority of the times you deal with people like that, when they're incoherent, they did drugs. And so, unfortunately, sometimes people make the assumption and it's wrong. They go on to write, or anything else, clearly something is wrong. And why would drugs be the first assumption? And then they threw him into a cell and let him die. Well, it wasn't like that. We don't know his face was drooping. Stop. Like, y'all adding stuff in that you don't know. None of that was reported. You have no idea. And we already said they were complicit in his death. Like, I agree. But here's the kicker. And here's something I wanted to share. But I can't, because I got to go to top five at five, literally in 5 seconds. But when we come back, we're going to talk about deliberate indifference.